Still talking in there. Phil, give George a call. Get George Copner out here. Tor, get George Copner and Keith Quartermain out there. Okay. Everyone in? There we go. We're just about in. I don't have to say this again. What are we going? Okay. I just read the speech. All set. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, gracious staff and valued friends, and I'll make a special mention of a couple of guests tonight. Norm Johns, put your hand up, Norm. Norm Johns, come along from Perth.
Would you like him to come forward?
Yes. Norm's got to come forward. Norm's got to come forward so you can be directly identified as one of the key figures of tonight's ceremony. Welcome, Steve. And
there's
Dick. Tina's going to tell you what we're doing.
I reckon it's time to get a sword, am I?
Mr. and Mrs. Digger Dawes and Mr. and Mrs. Doug Dawes. And there's the Honourable Nicholas Bolton. Hand up. Where's the Honourable Nicholas Bolton over there? David Andrews. David? Hand up, David. Nicholas and David have come all the way from London to be with us tonight, and we're most appreciative of that. And there's Mark, our butler. He's great. The company's come a long way in 2 years. We've got our own butler. So you see, Mark, don't stop him from doing what he's supposed to be doing tonight. We've got one small announcement. And that's just when the party's over tonight, 8:30 or 9 o'clock, whenever the party, when the grog runs out, we're invited around to two functions. One's the Pony Club thing that's at the Caledonian Hall and you'll see me playing in the band because I've got a job there. I've got to earn enough money to pay for the champagne tonight. And the other event on is at the Sylvester's, because that's where Mark's the DJ, so he's got another job to go to tonight, so we're both moonlighting. Now there's at least five reasons for tonight's function. And I thought of them here. One is that it's been such a hell of a long time since we've had a staff party, and it's been since lunchtime. So we really need another staff party. And another reason is that it's been 2 years since Croesus was born, or we got officially listed, so that's an event that we thought we should mark. And it's also coincidental, it's the birthday of King Croesus himself, who is the king of Lydia, sometime about 746 BC. He, of course, as you all know, is the first king in the world to ever mint gold coins. So he started a bit of a craze, and we're all living off that was the craze of the week, I suppose, for a few coins. The fourth reason is that today is exactly the day that we poured sufficient gold to make it exactly 1 tonne of gold that's been poured from the Hen and South gold mine. And in the boardroom, you'll see a cake that we made today that's exactly the same dimensions as 1 tonne of gold. And I tell you, it's hard to believe the amount of bloody work that's gone into pouring a little bit of gold that size by a hell of a lot of people. People directly involved with Croesus and indirectly involved with Croesus. And that's an opportunity for us to say thanks to everyone who has a part of it. Because, well, we're a small team. There's a hell of a lot of people that help us get there. The fifth reason, yeah, okay, that's the... this is why we're here, I suppose, is that it's an excuse to have an official reopening of a grand old building that was built in 1901. And we nearly didn't have the opening tonight, but the new toilets just arrived, and they got connected, I think, yesterday morning, and we haven't got any things down, so we haven't quite made it out the back end there. But we couldn't put it up. And people have said this is a remarkably tidy office. And it's a well-ordered office, and there's nothing out of place, and I just want you to know it's like that all the time. The remarkable history of the building, it's been inhabited by Jones Mining, as most of you know, for the last 12 or 14 years or so. 17 years. So there's a bit of history. We went to lifted up all the old lino looking for any maps and treasure maps that Josie may have written. I assure you, he took it all with him. And we've got John Jones' mother and father, Barton and Grace Jones, with us tonight. I like it. And they're... The Jones family's been well represented today because we had lunch with Brendan Jones out at Mount Munger Station today, which is the site on which we're going to desecrate the land and the earth and get some gold out of the Wombola prospect. So the Jones family has got a very friendly and comfortable relationship with Croesus, and we sure will keep it that way by being good citizens. There's not a better guy in the state to give the official opening ceremony, and just to tell us a little of the history of the building, and it's Norm Johns, who's known to many of you. He's a great friend of our family, and there's been several occasions when Norm's had to come in and carry on the family business when I've been whisked off on other things. I think I went working in Sweden or something in Hildefort, and then I went somewhere or other. I don't know if anyone knew where I went that time. But
still haven't found out.
No, valiantly soldiered on. He's been a great friend of the family and my father's before. And Norm was, and if we can get him, give us a little bit of background, but my brief interaction will be that he was the chairman of the Kalgoorlie Roads Board, which is the name up on the front of this building, and his name is out on the front on the nameplate, and coincidentally his when there was a merger and it became the Kalgoorlie Shire, Norman became then the first president of the Kalgoorlie Shire, and at that time Digger Dawes with us was his deputy president. So it's a remarkable coincidence that we've brought these colleagues together, and they've got many experiences to share. But at the conclusion of the cutting ceremony, I've asked Mr. Dawes to just say a couple of words and to thank Norman too, and we've got a little presentation cooked up. So, Mr. John, so I'd like to hand over to you.
Thank you.
Take the place of honour.
You know I'm going to go up there, do you?
I think you should. Yeah. Would you like to?
This is the disappointing thing. I'm sure that I'd be given a sword.
This red ribbon business that you've been cutting is also symbolic of the red tape that we have to put up with.
Well, this grand old building, my association with it was over a period of 17 years, which commenced in 1948. It was a road board, and it was a non-entity. It didn't have any money in the bins. It was debt-ridden, and there wasn't a piece of equipment inside or outside that wasn't worn out. So we, in a scale of 10, was zero. It took us 3 years to get rid of the deadwood that was controlling it, and we selected and elected people whose expertise was such that they could do something to make this local authority tick. Digger was one of them. It took us about 10 or 12 years to reach a stage where we were one of the most efficient, progressive and well-respected local authority within the Goldfields region. We didn't do this without a great deal of help from a lot of people. The Chamber of Mines and its associate members were 100% behind everything we did. Its professional expertise throughout its personnel were available to us just for a matter of asking. And that's why I think we grew as fast as we did. I remember at a function in this hall once, I was proposing a toast to the Chamber of Mines, and I took the opportunity of expressing my appreciation and the council's appreciation of the help that was always provided. In his reply, the president of the day said, "It's our job, our responsibility to look after the workforce, their welfare, their safety, and engender in them a sense of loyalty and job satisfaction. It's your job as a local authority to look after the dependents of our workforce, to provide the parks and gardens, the roads and footpaths, the streets, trees, public transport, light and power, you name it, recreational centres. And by doing so, we work together as a tight-knit, progressive community." Well, that has occurred. I think you'll all agree that the local authorities in this district have met their responsibilities in the manner in which they should. And Kalgoorlie Boulder is a good place in which to work and a very good place to live. Do you want any anecdotes?
Yeah, I think we should have one. Those in favour of an anecdote.
This road board has a lot of history, and so far as Digger and I are concerned, we could probably keep you entertained for hours on things that happen. Drama, comedy, and all goes with it. When we first started, having no money, we were unable to do anything in regard to comfort of councillors. Even the 3% were looked at very carefully. The acoustics upstairs were very, very bad because wooden floors and liner. Expert advice was such that we needed to put in heavy drapes and good quality cap. But anything we spent, as I said, for the comfort of members, had to be a unanimous vote. Anyway, we decided to call tenders, as is required in local government for any amount of money you spend. And somebody moved and seconded that we obtained quotes for this particular job. One of our members, who is a retired army colonel, he said, "You can get all the quotes you like, but you'll get capping on the floor over my dead body." Well, we thought we were stymied because we needed that unanimous vote. And some bright spark on the council recollected that the colonel slept a lot during our debate. So at the following meeting, when we had the quotes, every member had a copy. As soon as I noticed that the colonel was asleep, I suggested that they do something about this. These quotes. Somebody quietly moved. Somebody quietly moved. And all in favour? Aye. Against, if any? The colonel snored on. I don't know whether he ever woke up to what he was doing. Just by the way.
You got a bit of ribbon there, a bit of red tape there.
It's possible for me to get a shot in.
I don't know where that'll stand.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have much pleasure in declaring open this office complex at our headquarters of Croesus Galmite.
That's okay.
Did you get that?
Yeah, just hear about the
gun. Well, I'll hand over to Mr. Norris. And Mike's bringing the picture. That's okay. Well,
thank you.
Thank you. What we'll do. Draw your attention to Mr. Lewis.
Thank you, Ron. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is indeed a very great pleasure for me to be here. And I appreciate the invitation for my wife and I to be present in this historic village. It conjures up a lot of stories in my mind. And I must tell you a couple of jokes too. I'll keep it as clean as possible. Colonel Ryan. Well, Colonel. There was one trick they played on him. And somebody complained about the boy's dog in Johnson Street. Black dog, he's very sick. And Colonel was wrapped up in the RSPCA and he had the right to inspect various things for the RSPCA. It was a Kennedy boy's dog, but eventually Colonel, with his revolver, shot the Kennedy boy's dog and shot the wrong bloody dog. He got into trouble after that. Going back in the early days of the road board, before my time on the road board, I was on the road board with Norm as a member, and Alex Cruikshank, after whom the Cruikshank Sports Arena is named, he was the chairman. He used to work at Hockings as a linotype operator, I think. So he was able to do his job and get the paper out in about 4 hours, and then he had plenty of time. Where are you, Norm? And he was a carry-on from a party, a political party that occupied the building And sorry, I've got to tell you this, because politics has always entered into local government in some form or other. And it wasn't to the betterment of the people, but Alan Cruickshank always claimed, I was a member of the Labor Party, they put me here on the road board, and they said, well, you better knock it off, mate, because if you keep that up, you won't be on the road board much longer. So, what happened, that there was a big shuffle-up. Wesley George Moore was an accountant, public accountant, he, and Norm, a few others, spearheaded an attack. There was three out this election, three out the next election, till the whole thing was compacted, till it became a stable board, road board, that was respected right throughout the breadth and depth of the country. Like Norm said, it was respected right throughout the state. We didn't borrow big, huge sums of money. We didn't leave a legacy for posterity. But the things that have been done in the past, some of the things that were done, posterity is with us today, and we're paying the penalty of those borrowings. God forbid, the other posterity that's coming on, the young people, those that are here, take note, your taxes are going to go up fourfold, not double, in time to come. Jeez, I'm going on, ain't I? But that's local government today. But I have very happy memories. Joey Camilleri. Joey's still about. He's in Perth. He owns a couple of taxis, but somebody works. Joey used to say he was very loyal to Norm and the council. That was on the Shire of Kalgoorlie. Joey would have a look around and see where the strength was at the table, and he'd put his head halfway up and he'd have a look and he'd say, Norm, that, so up. I often refer to people that do that. It's a Joe Camilleri job. And people know it now, but he's a really honest bloke, and he was mayor of Stirling City Council at one stage. He was a member of the Liberal Party, but he fell of the opposite party, and he only ran for 12 months, but he's still on the council. He's a good councillor and a good citizen, well respected. He's wrapped up in the Royal Association of Justices. He does a good job there, and he's wrapped up in a lot of other charitable shows in Perth. Well known. I don't know whether I should tell you about the time when Alan Cruickshank was chairman of the board. After another gentleman that was the chairman of the board. It's a bit rude. You think I should?
Oh, keep it.
You don't want me to tell it?
I'll give you a little more chance.
Yeah. Well, I've known it's a pretty crude bloke. But it's true. And the chairman used to go out when the ratepayers were a bit reluctant to pay the rates. So he went up to Warrabanda, brought out. They went to one house and the lady was home, the old man was out working. And she said, come in. Well, he said, I've come about the rates. So I had a cup of tea and napped it on for a while. And she said, oh, well, you want me to pay the rates? And he said, well, that's the purpose of it. Oh, she said, the other gentleman used to cut the rates out. Now, that's absolutely true. And I dare mention the name because this is one of the things, one of the many things that I know that I'm going to put in my book that I'm now going on.
We want to know, did you get your rates?
I pay my rates. I want you to understand that I'm a freeman of the Shire of Boulder. Now, you want to know what that means. Does anybody know?
No.
Nobody knows.
No,
I'll tell you what. I'm free to go here, free to go there, free to go to the pictures, free to go wherever I like. But I'll bloody well pay just the same. It's a sinecure. However, thank you, Ron. Thank you, Norm.
I think this is important to explain.
On behalf of everybody, including myself, and I promise you I would keep that. I stole it from the Shire of Boulder. They've got no chance of getting it back. So I'd like you, on behalf of everybody present, and the people of the, our people of the district, and then myself, but in particular Andron, and everybody present, to take that. And I'll have you about to take it back and hang it up. I told you I would do it.
You couldn't have done anything better.
Well, like I say, it's on with the party, and we'll have Gillian and Tony will cut the cake after we've advanced a little further in the evening. Conducted tours of the upstairs office. If anyone likes to see what happens upstairs, conducted tours during the next 30 minutes and then we'll lock it all up. There's no secret.